wrestling fans, are you ready?
Yes, 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 yes.
For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, let's get ready to rumble!
And now, please welcome at this time your hosts, Graham GSM Matthews and RJ Marceau. You're listening to the next era of wrestling radio. This is Wrestle Rant Radio.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Wrestle Rant Radio for Thursday, April 25th, 2024. I'm Graham GSM Matthews. Hope you guys are doing well and having a great week so far. It is draft day. NFL draft day technically today, but it's WWE draft day tomorrow and next Monday. Mr. Marceau and myself talking a little bit of the NFL draft as we normally do every single year here on the show before getting into WWE draft projections for night one and night two. At the end of today's episode, before then, we're talking Dynasty, we're talking Becky Lynch winning the Women's World Championship, a slew of WWE releases, and so much more. But before any of that, my interview with Booker T from earlier this week. We taped it on Monday. Tuesday, Trick Williams won the NXT Championship, and I mentioned that because we talk a lot about Trick in our interview, and Dave Meltzer's comments about Trick, and Booker T's comments about Trick, and whether he feels he's main roster ready right now or not. And a ton more. Jacob Fatu being WWE bound as well. His own commentary in NXT. His approach to commentary. WWE Most Wanted Treasures airing right now every Sunday on A&E. And a ton more. So check out that interview first here in the show before we delve into my conversation with Mr. Marceau. New episodes of Wrestle Rant Radio available every single Thursday on WrestleRant.com, WrestleRantRadio.com, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast. Or actually, Google Podcast is no more. I have to get in the habit of no longer saying Google Podcast. We are on YouTube Music now, actually. But like I said, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcast is now YouTube Music, Pandora, Amazon Music, all that other sort of stuff. Be sure to rate the show, review the show, subscribe to the show. Never miss new episodes every single Thursday. Now, without further ado, enjoy my exclusive interview with WWE Hall of Famer, two-time WWE Hall of Famer, Booker T. Graham Matthews here with Bleach Report and Fanside, the head of WWE Most Wanted Treasures on A&E, speaking with one of the guest hosts here today, Booker T. You were on season two, you're on season three, back searching for memorabilia. How you doing? Thanks for taking the time, man. I appreciate it.
Feel great, man. Feel great.
So talking about this show, obviously, like I said, you were on season two, back on season three. Any differences that you noticed between being on the last season and then being on this one, or is it just kind of the same deal so far?
Oh, no, it was just a long process, you know, searching for some of the most iconic WWE memorabilia out there, you know, meeting some really, really cool people. No, it was actually pleasantly surprised as far as how cool being in that situation really, really is.
Does doing it like already and then doing this season kind of better prepare you as far as what you're looking for and then like interactions with some of these people, like the fans and kind of getting some of the stuff from them for WWE?
It prepared me for the prompter. But no, it definitely gives you a blueprint how you want to approach the second season. First season was a little bit different from the second season as far as who I was paired with. Mm-hmm. It's actually cool, like especially like being around Lita and Mick Foley, you know, two of my comrades that I've been down the road with many, many times. They made it really, Lita and Mick Foley, they made it so easy for me as far as the treasures go.
I was going to say there's no process as far as kind of building that chemistry because you guys have known each other for so long. So I'm sure it was easy as peasy just to start filming, right?
Not just that. We've been around each other for a long time, but the respect we have for each other. I mean, Mick Foley truly has given his life to this business. Lita definitely is from the women's side. She has, you know, garnered so much attention towards bringing more and more women to this sport than perhaps anyone, seriously. And I did a little bit myself, you know, so for the three of us to be together, it's kind of like the three amigos. We definitely are comfortable with each other.
When you have to interact with some of these fans to get some of this stuff, like, does it become easier? Because obviously, when you're trying to get some of this stuff, some of these people do not want to part away with their memorabilia as all as seen on the show. Like, does that become easier for you? Do you have like any attachment, like any sympathy for these fans having to part with some of the stuff? Or are you like just business as usual here?
You know, it's business all the time. You know, we're trying to get the memorabilia. Sometimes they want to give it up. Sometimes they don't want to give it up.
Yep.
And we got to pull on their heartstrings sometimes, you know. Sometimes I sent somebody out and I said, you know, I think we sent Dominic out. And I say, Dominic, I need you to show one tear. I need to see a tear come down your eye. You know, because we need that memorabilia.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes we come across, you know, fans who have been holding on to that memorabilia that really don't mind letting the WWE universe hold on to it just for a minute, just so it could be in the right place. And the right place is, you know, right there in front of the fans where they can actually be able to see it, feel it, and touch it. And last year we had setups where the fans could actually come out and see and feel and touch a lot of that stuff that we were collecting. So I think that's what true wrestling fans, you know, want to be a part of. I always talk about the wrestler. You know, fans have seen me wrestle many, 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 many times. But to get a chance to meet me and touch me and shake my hand and take a photo, I think that experience is so much more.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And some of the stuff that you're talking about, like you said, where people can kind of get a chance to interact with it and whatnot, we see on full display at WWE World and stuff like that. Do you know if some of that stuff was seen this year over WrestleMania weekend? I know it was last year, but this year, maybe not.
You know what? This year, I'm not sure if they displayed a lot of that stuff just because I was busy and I was working in a lot of other places. This WrestleMania was like literally the most busiest WrestleMania since my inception in WWE. But I'm not sure, but it's a possibility. Let's just say that.
I mean, that's saying a lot, Booker. You've been in WWE on and off for a very long time. Now, talk about Mania Weekend. How was that for you? Obviously, we know doing commentary for Stand and Deliver, but everything else you were being kept busy with.
Yeah, I tell you, Stand and Deliver was awesome, but night one and night two, culminating in Cody Rhodes finishing the story. Just the build up to WrestleMania with The Rock included, I think that added so much more spice. You know, I always talk about, you know, the stories that WWE has been able to create over these last, I don't know, maybe a year or so, as far as the premium live events. You know, we go into these events a lot of times, we really don't know what the end game is. The story is not really told, but it's been so many great premium live events. And so I just say, for me, I feel like a fan. I try not to overanalyze things. Mm-hmm. I just sit back and watch it play out. And this year, it played out so much bigger than my expectations. It really did.
Is that how you approach your role on commentary too? Just kind of going at it as a fan? Because I feel like we can obviously sense the enthusiasm for you on commentary, but as far as also like not knowing where certain things are going, or I guess is that part of the process where you kind of have to know in order to tell that story on commentary?
No. I don't read the script as far as the matches on a weekly basis. I try to go in and I have my chemistry with Vic, but that's it. But my primary objective goal is, I'm not a commentator. I'm an analyst and I try to make the show fun. I try to keep the show fun, but I try to make sure I analyze it from a perspective to where you can get some education out of, you know, what's going on as well. We got a lot of young guys that's coming up. A lot of young guys, they're going to make mistakes. I got to be able to call them out on their mistakes. As far as being friends, I got to let them know, look, this is not a friendship business. This is a very, very selfish business if you want to make it to the top. So I'm speaking facts, but I still got to throw my shaggy ducky quack quack moment in there on a regular basis. I got to make sure we get Trick Williams over. I got to make sure, you know, with Bron Breakker, no bread, no water, just meat. You know, we got to make sure that part of the show is still intact, because wrestling is to be embellished and people do want to have fun when they're watching it.
I mean, you mentioned Trick, you mentioned Braun. Braun, obviously, on his way up to the WWE main roster. Trick just winning the main event of Stand and Deliver with Carmelo Hayes, obviously, historic main event for that and everything else going on that weekend. Just to see the progression of some of these talents. And is it hard to kind of part ways with some of them? Trick will hopefully be sticking around competing for the NXT Championship this Tuesday. We don't know where he's going in the draft if he's staying put, but Braun, we know, is going to the main roster. Carmelo, very likely main roster bound. Is it hard for you, Booker, to kind of part ways with some of these people?
Yeah, man. It's just like McDonough when he left. McDonough, that number one stunner. I was just getting the logo ready for him, you know. But it's hard To see these, just like Tiffany Stratton, I got a chance to work with her, and I could see the rise of Tiffany. I mean, it was like meteoric. It happened like so quick. And to see him, you know, move to the next level, that's just part of the game. Like Ivy now, she got a chance to come down to reality wrestling before she went to the main roster. And that's the thing, preparation. I always tell us, the young guys, preparation is the only luck you're ever going to have in this business. You're going to find yourself, you know, running into a lot of obstacles, and you got to figure a way how to go, you know, around, you know, over. You might have to go, you know, bury under. You may have to go straight through that obstacle, but you got to figure it out. So for me, I'm the ultimate mentor for these young guys. I want so much for these young guys and these young girls to be able to do it, you know, like I did, and so much bigger than I did. So for me, I'm living my best life working with these young guys.
I mean, you mentioned Trick in particular, obviously playing a pretty big role in helping get him over, so to speak, with the crowd and kind of chanting along with the theme song. But obviously he's doing the work. Obviously he's a natural talent, winning the main event of Stand and Deliver, competing for the NXT Championship tomorrow as we speak right now. A lot of discourse, obviously, surrounding Trick in the last week, talking about Dave Meltzer, you know, his opinion on the whole matter, saying he's not that good. When you see something like that as someone that has seen his progression in NXT, I mean, having seen his work as a fan myself, I see the work that he's put in. And obviously it's NXT for a reason. It's developmental. But as someone that has seen that progression for Trick in NXT over the last number of years, your take on kind of what's going around about Trick right now, I guess.
Man, Trick has had a meteoric rise. It's one thing about, you know, the wrestling, you know, it's subjective to, you know, the person that's watching it. I never really look at that side of it because I really wasn't that great of a wrestler myself. I just act like I was a good wrestler. but Trick Williams, he's done something so captivating, and that's, you know, be able to connect with that crowd. That crowd want to see Trick win. They want to see him come up, just because of, you know, that charisma that he displayed on a weekly basis. He's a good dude as well. His wrestling, that's going to come. I talk to Trick Williams all the time myself about that aspect of his game. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that happens overnight. Trick Williams has had, literally, you can count just about on both hands how many matches Trick Williams has had actually in the ring on television.
Yeah.
So for me, Trick is a diamond in the rough. But trust me, once we polish him up, man, he's going to shine. And he's going to shine like new money. And right now, he's doing a hell of a job as far as, you know, creating his aura in NXT. And by the time he get to that next level, I can say this, and I can honestly say this, is Trick Williams ready for the main roster right now? Me personally, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But that's what NXT is for, to get these young guys ready for that next level, just like Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo's been grinding in NXT for about the last 2 years. He's been grinding. Give Trick Williams that same amount of time and see how this young man develops. He is truly going to be a generational talent in this business that hadn't come along in a long time. Perhaps since Booker T.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I mean, I feel like you said it right there too. That's the whole point that I feel like that's lost on people. That's what NXT is for. I mean, obviously it's considered a third brand by many, but still it is a stepping stone for Raw and SmackDown. And hopefully at that point he can be on the level of a Carmelo. And in many ways he already is as far as that fan support, but obviously coming along in different ways. But for you, Booker, I mean, obviously being a part of NXT on commentary as an analyst, like you said, for the last 2 years now, seeing the progression of the brand, and we've seen, like, creatively in the main roster how different it is with the different regime in charge, how much better it's been in many respects. Just as a fan, as an analyst in NXT, have you seen that switch up in NXT as well? Or has it kind of been the same, but not in a bad way necessarily, as far as NXT going unaffected by a lot of the stuff that you see in the main roster behind the scenes and NXT kind of staying consistent, if that makes sense?
Yeah, you know what? Shawn Michaels, he's doing a hell of a job. He's doing a hell of a job. He's got a hell of a team. In NXT, and it seems like it's a totally different, vibe than what's going on the main roster as far as SmackDown and Raw. Every time we lose one, we replace it. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I always tell my students, you know, when we have one loose link in our chain, we take it out, we fix it, and we keep on rolling. I think that's what NXT has been able to do, because we have lost some really, really mainstream talent in NXT, but it still seemed like the boat's still floating as fast as it has been for this last 2 years since I've been there. So for me, I like the direction. I like the direction as far as what NXT is doing to prepare these young guys for that next level.
Like you said, I feel like NXT also does a pretty good job constantly of replenishing the pot, bringing in new people, whether it be established talent from elsewhere or newer people. I mean, obviously, they don't have a lot of experience. People like the Tiffanys and the Tricks that come from different worlds, so to speak, and then come to WWE and do extremely well. One of those people that we've seen recently, not debut yet, but been a lot of rumblings lately, it remains to be seen if he goes to NXT first, the main roster, but Jacob Fatu, a pretty big name on the independent scene, someone from the kind of Texas area and kind of making his name around there. Yeah. He might be WWE bound. He could already be in WWE. We don't know. Time will tell. But your thoughts on that, Booker, as far, I mean, obviously getting a chance to work with him in NXT would be cool, but yeah. Jacob Fatu, I know you're familiar with him. Your thoughts on him potentially being WWE bound?
You know, I've been the advocate for Jacob Fatu. I don't know if you know about it, but I don't know, maybe 6 months back, I put out a post that I was, you know, doing everything that I possibly could to get Jacob Fatu in the WWE just because I feel like he deserves to be there. He is truly a talent that we haven't seen in many, many years. This guy is really that good, and to be able to work with him up close and personal at Reality of Wrestling has been a joy for me. So I don't want to give anything away or anything like that, but I can tell you this, Jacob Fatu, he's definitely going to make that move, and he's going to make that move real soon. Trust me.
He's a star in the making. I'm shocked that it hasn't happened already. You've talked about it before, but you know, it's just a logical next step.
You know what? It's going to happen. We're going to, we're going to wheel that into fruition. We're going to make that happen because now my thing is, for me, I see talent. I spot talent. Mm-hmm. I can bring you in the Reality of Wrestling, and then within 2 minutes, I know if you got it or not to work on my show. And for Jacob Fatu, this is a guy that could work anywhere in the world. And you may have, you know, just say, for instance, you see him for the first time, you will never, ever forget Jacob Fatu.
No, definitely. I feel like the WWE universe, for anyone that's not familiar with them, is about to see that hopefully soon. It's not a matter of if, more a matter of when, I would say.
Oh, but that is.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, and I feel like as soon as people see him, they're going to know exactly what you're talking about. But as we wind down here, Booker, just going back to the show, as far as some items that you personally would never want to part way with in your career, is there anything that if you were on the other side of WWE's most wanted treasures and they came calling for you, and maybe they have, obviously, you've worked with WWE forever now and they want your merchandise or memorabilia, stuff like that. Is there anything that you would not want them to part with, that you would not want to part ways with from your career?
You know, it'd probably be the television championship, the WCW television championship, just because that's the title that, you know, sparked my career. It's the title that, you know, gave me a chip in the game. And it meant so much to me, I think, because I wasn't even supposed to win the title the night that I won the television championship. Rick Martel was supposed to win the title, and he had forgot his boots and his gear in Canada, and they had to put the title on someone. They wanted to take it off Disco Inferno, and boom, it's like, look, we're going to put the title on you, and but we're going to, you know, transition it to Rick Martel, you know, in a few weeks, you know. And I was like, well, all right, that's cool. But I said to myself, when I got that title, I said, man, they're never going to get this title off my waist, man. They're never getting it back. And six championship reigns later, realizing that perhaps I could be, you know, main event material. Perhaps I could be world championship material. It all started with the World Television Championship.
And on the flip side, is there another item out there from your career, or I guess it doesn't have to necessarily be from your career, that if you were out there looking for, that if it was possible to find, like we saw recently with the Cody Rhodes watch thing, Dusty's watch, we just saw that over Mania Week, and I don't know how they were able to find that, but they did. For you, is there something out there from your life, career, whatever it might be, that you would love to get your hands on again?
Oh, man. Well, there it is. Like I say, I don't have the television championship.
Oh, okay.
The television championship is out there in the world somewhere, and we have never been able to find it.
Wow.
That's the one piece of my career that's missing. And hopefully one day we'll find the WCW World Television Championship.
Well, it's out there now. Hopefully someone will hear this and someone will, go find it. Maybe there's a wrestling historian that can track down its whereabouts and we'll find it by the next time we speak. But Booker, this has been great. Like I said, WWE Most Wanted Treasures airing weekly right now on A&E. And people can, of course, find you every Tuesday on NXT as well. Booker, always a pleasure talking to you, man. I appreciate you taking the time.
Pleasure. Thank you, man. Appreciate you having me.
Big thanks to Booker for the time. Always a treat talking to him. Our interview also available in video form over on my YouTube channel right now, youtube.com/WrestleRant. That's where it goes up first before it hits here on the show in audio form and also in article form over on dailyddt.com. But like I said back at the start of the show, it is draft day, baby. WWE draft day is tomorrow. It's draft season. Looking forward to that. But we have the NFL draft coming up first tonight. Mr. Marceau, brother, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited for the NFL draft. Now, let's get into that first. Obviously, I know I ask a bit more questions, do some more research. Unfortunately, didn't have a chance this week. I know. Hold your booze. But I do want to get some thoughts on your NFL draft predictions before we get into the wrestling stuff. And there is a lot of wrestling stuff to get into. The thing is that typically every year when we talk about this and I ask you about that, there really isn't a lot going on because that was the state of WWE and just wrestling as a whole. But we had Dynasty this past week. We had Tony Khan getting laid out on Dynamite. How can I not ask you about that? Not the entire show, but that specific angle and your thoughts on it. We get a handful of WWE releases this past week. A superstar re-signing. We'll get into that. And, of course, WWE draft predictions. At the end of the show, who's going to Raw? Who's going to SmackDown? I like when my rules for the draft are announced early, and that's exactly what they did on Wednesday. So I'm excited. But before we get into any of that, Mr. Marceau, like I said, today, night one of the NFL draft, they're coinciding running back-to-back. Head-to-head is the NFL draft and the WWE draft tomorrow night on SmackDown. But the NFL draft kicking off tonight. Give me some of your thoughts. Are we looking forward to the NFL draft this year?
Oh, I'm pumped. I can't fucking wait. Best day of the year, as always. big NFL draft tonight. I think it's going to be a good one. I think we can see some shake-up at the top. A lot of quarterback talk, so could see someone mortgaging the future or trying to save their job trading up. So I'm excited. 8 o'clock, ESPN, ABC, to make sure you check it out. But I'm excited. I think I was honestly surprised that WWE's doing their. I thought Raw would get the first night just with the NFL draft tomorrow night. Just It's gonna hey, it's gonna take a lot of viewership away. I don't know if that's a smart move, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, I mean, the timing of the WWE one makes sense. Unless they were to do it, have you know, last week or something like that. Next week, SmackDown's in France, and obviously next weekend is the pay-per-view. So they wanted to do it before the pay-per-view. They could have done it last week, so they were not running head-to-head. Maybe they wanted to capitalize on the fact that there's draft fever going on right now. I'm not sure. Any Bulldogs you expect going from
that? I didn't even think of that.
You know, just a thought. I mean, I was, you know, also wondering why on Wednesday AEW was running Daly's place after only being gone for 3 months. I mean, that's really not that long. But a bunch of people in my replies were like, well, it's because the draft's going on and Tony Khan's got to be there. I mean, after the attack on Wednesday, I don't know if he's going to make it at this point. Maybe if he does show up, maybe he shows up in a fucking neck brace. I don't know. But I feel like that would make sense. Is the NFL draft in Vegas every year or does it change locations?
Changes location every year. It used to be only in New York City. It used to only be at Radio City Music Hall in New York City. And then I'd say within the last 10 years, they've changed every year. I think it's in Detroit this year. I might be misspoken, but I'm pretty sure it's in Detroit this year.
Your favorite city. We were just there for SummerSlam.
Bring your bulletproof vest.
It actually, as we talked about at the time, actually exceeded my expectations with how... You know, nothing against the people of Detroit, but I was a little bit worried going there and whatnot, but it ended up being pretty decent. I mean, granted, we were walking with two other people at night, but it wasn't that bad at night when we left the baseball game that Friday night after SmackDown was going on before SummerSlam that weekend. But, yeah, with the draft, is there anyone from the Bulldogs you expect to be making the move to the NFL this year?
Oh, there's plenty of guys. Come on. Jordan's the best. first round, I think Brock Bowers, the tight end, will probably get picked in the first round. And who else? Probably Amarius Mims as well. He's like an offensive lineman. They're probably more in the second round, but those two are specifically in the first.
And I ask you every year, but you think they'll be able to replenish the pot in the same way that WWE has to do when they kind of move people up to the main roster so they could still do well next season?
Oh, easily. The Kirby's out recruiting right now, so I think they had the number one or two recruiting class this year. So you just hey, show them the money, and they come calling nowadays. Especially now they can offer kids money, they come running now.
Never bark alone, right?
Never bark alone. GSM learned that front and center. He saw it.
I love it. Hey, listen, I'll be tuning in tonight. I'll have to check it out. If I definitely send me a reminder text, but if it's at 8 o'clock, I'll try to set a reminder for myself, and I'll give you some thoughts as it's airing live on ABC. I feel like I'm chilling the NFL now. But we move from that to
Cheese
the wrestling. What'd you say? Oh, Chiefs Kingdom. Chiefs Kingdom, indeed. Yeah, no, definitely. Listen, got to go for my boys, Chief, until another team does better. But I kid. I'm a Chiefs fan for life at this point. But we'll see how they fare tonight in the – I almost said the WWE draft, night one of the NFL draft. And then tomorrow night I'm going to have to turn on the NFL so I can watch the SmackDown night one WWE draft. But like I said, we'll get to that a little bit later on. Dynasty on Sunday, no match-by-match breakdown, of course. It was a very long show, per usual, four-hour show, not including the kickoff, the zero-hour pre-show. But I honestly did think, for as much as a kind of rag on the weekly product, and I thought Dynamite last night, so I wasn't going to watch it before we spoke this morning. Sometimes I don't, because there's not really a need to. But between you texting me about it, and you didn't even say what happened, but I'm like, all right, if you're texting me about it...
I had to text you because, you know, I'm like, I had to text you the way I vaguely texted you just to make sure, like, you saw... I wanted to be vague enough to not tell you what happened,
yeah,
but vague enough to, like, you should watch without telling you
no,
to watch it.
No, that was smart because you didn't even say what I loved about your text because it was so vague. You just asked me if I watched it, and I said, no, not yet. And you said... well, and we'll get into that part in a second as far as what happened on Dynamite. But you had said, oh, I saw some people on Twitter. I didn't watch it either, but I saw people on Twitter talking. But I'm like, oh, great. It's either something really good or really bad, but it's probably the latter.
So
because...
there you go. See, that's how you text someone vaguely and like say that you should watch it.
Yeah, because and I appreciate that because when you say that, if you were to say like, oh, God, it's awful, like definitely check it out. In my mind, I already have preconceived notions. All right, the show's going to be bad. So I was able to form my own opinion, and it was a pretty bad show. And the main event segment was just, we'll get into that, but it was weird because I thought Dynamite kind of sucked by Dynamite standards. Dynasty, actually, on Sunday night, I thought was a great show. Swerve Strickland, new AEW World Champion, pretty good main event, him beating Samoa Joe. Overdue, but it was the right time for it. I didn't want Swerve to win it at Revolution, didn't think it was the right time. They pulled the trigger, they struck when the iron was hot on Sunday. Great way to close out the show. Probably the best match in AEW history between Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay. Fantastic match. And they also had the ladder match as well, the Young Bucks becoming the new AEW World Tag Team Champions, and the return of Jack Perry as well, as well as an entire undercard of matches. Willow Nightingale become the new TBS champion, a great opener between Okada and Pac for the Continental Championship. Just a really, really good show overall, I thought. What were your top takeaways from the pay-per-view on Sunday?
Yeah, from one of my side, like you said, everyone was talking about it, so I had to watch Ospreay and Danielson. Like I said, I thought it was really good. Probably the best singles match in AEW so far. And, like, different than most, like there was a lot of work rate, but I also felt like they sold a lot.
Yes,
and, like, made sense. Like, a lot of, like, the work rate matches I don't like, it's like there's no selling and they're just hitting 1,000 moves and they're just popping up for everything. I don't know if it was just because Danielson was probably leading it because obviously he's the veteran and he kind of, like, knows how to sell and kind of like put a match together, but I don't know, I feel like that's what made it different than other like big work rate matches I've seen. Like, there was actually selling and like you kind of like got into it at that point, so I thought that, like you said, really good match. I'm glad Swerve only got his due, but I just feel like the whole Ospreay Danielson kind of overshadowed that, unfortunately, for him. But I'm glad he got his win, got the belt. Like I said, Willow won. I think we both had her. With everything going on with Mercedes, it seemed like it was a slam dunk she would win and they would continue that rivalry at Double or Nothing, and seemingly that's where we're going. Jericho winning, just good belly laugh for me. I mean, why? But got to be under the learning tree, so fucking stupid. I just don't get it, but... I mean, that's what happens when you sign a 10-year contract. You have to do something with them at all times. So I think that was probably one of the worst moments of the show. Like I said, the Jack Perry thing, I mean, I guess, like I said, it led into what happened last night. I feel like, not that I saw it coming, but after they showed the video, Tony Khan's like, it's going to have something to do with this match. Like, he would the only thing that made sense was him coming back, because what happened between Punk and Perry had nothing to do with FTR and the Bucks. So that's what we got there. Trying to think of else. I didn't see any 0 hour, so that was good. Like you said, from what I saw, that was a pretty decent show. Like I said, the Hook and Jericho booking decision just made me giggle, and Like I said, I'm glad Swerve won, but I felt like the whole Ospreay Danielson overshadowed him, unfortunately. But I'm glad he actually won the belt and they just didn't do something stupid.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things off what you said. I agree with Danielson and Ospreay in that. I thought it was a tremendous match. Like I said, probably the best match, period, or singles match that AEW's ever done. But it was definitely different in that. From your, I mean, AEW's had a lot of amazing matches in their five-year history. We were there for one of them, Cody and Dustin, at the first Double or Nothing, which still stands the test of time. And I think it's honestly even better when we watched it back. We did the watch-along about a year later during COVID. And that was a great match, even watching it back and in retrospect and whatnot. That's among the company's best matches they've had to date. This one might have that one be, obviously, not a lot. I mean, the story was, who's the better wrestler? I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, there's a constant meme of, like, what's the story here with AEW? And that is a common and sometimes justified criticism of a lot of their stuff. This didn't really need that, but I still thought it was a five-star match regardless. And, no, I loved it. It was definitely different than most AEW matches because, like you said, there was more selling. They took their time with it. Some really cool shit. They were just on the same page. It just didn't feel like a giant spot fest. Like, it wasn't like they were doing shit from the get-go, start to finish. And the crowd was exhausted afterward, but the crowd had a lot to do with it as well. So I thought it was fantastic. The Hawk-Jericho match wasn't even bad, but the booking decision just was, I mean, it wasn't surprising. I went back and I looked at all the matches that I had predicted last week here on the show. I got every single one of them right. It was a very predictable show, but they had the right people go over. I mean, Jericho going over wasn't the right call, but I figured they would make that move, and that's exactly what they did. They're going to extend the feud and do the learning tree bullshit, and between, so that and the Swerve thing kind of leading into Dynamite real quick, before we get into the Tony Khan thing, two of the things that bothered me from Dynamite were those two things, and not just the main event segment, which we'll get to in a second, like I said. But with Swerve, you mentioned how he felt overshadowed at the pay-per-view. He definitely would have been overshadowed had he won it at Revolution, and I'm glad they didn't wait any longer because it felt like the right time to do it on Sunday. You are right that Danielson and Ospreay stole the show. Danielson and Ospreay stole the show, so that kind of took away from the main event a little bit. That didn't bother me all that much because the moment of him winning the championship was great. That was the top takeaway there. What bothered me more was, I told you yesterday before you texted me, the only thing I'd seen from Dynamite before I changed the channel, and not because it was bad, but just I was doing something else, was I watched the opener. We didn't hear from Swerve at all. I'm thinking, okay, maybe if I continue watching the show later that he'll cut a promo or something. He didn't. He just had a fucking random-ass match with Kyle Fletcher, which, okay, fine. The match was very good. But that was it. Like, for his first appearance as world champion, we didn't hear from him. No celebration. They had one for Willow, which was cool, but they didn't have one for the new AEW world champion, which I thought was disappointing. And the Jericho stuff, I mean, he came out to new music. I like the new music, actually, but the Learning Tree thing is just fucking awful. Big Bill came out, and I'm thinking, are we doing another faction with Chris Jericho? Like, that's where we are in 2024, that we're doing yet another fucking faction with this guy? Another heel group? Like, are you fucking kidding me? And they're trying to lean in. I think AEW's new thing is that they're trying to be, like, meta now. So, like, with the Young Bucks thing, they're leaning into the punk stuff and the fact that people don't like them to make them heel EVPs. Okay, I mean, that shit's not really for me, but they've done a decent job with it so far, I think. It's whatever. Adding Jack Perry to it, okay. But, like, the Jericho thing, it's not, like, cool and edgy because they're leaning into the fact that people don't like what Jericho's doing. It just makes it fucking worse that they're aware that people want Jericho off the show right now, but he's getting go-away heat for a lot of people. Getting Big Bill involved? Like, who gives a fuck? And I like Big Bill, but, like, dude, I mean, that shit's just terrible. It's giving me the opposite effect where it's like, oh, I want to boo Jericho. No, it makes me want to change the channel. So the fact that they're actually acknowledging that and they're still not changing it by taking Jericho off the show is pretty fucking bad.
Yeah, like you said, especially with Jericho, I just feel like he has so much go-away heat with everyone. It's not even, like, good heat. It's just, like, get off my TV. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And, like, even on Cornette, like, they've been talking about for a couple months now, they call it, like, the Jericho Vortex. Like, he just keeps going around and around, like, just trying to get anyone that has any kind of over ability, he just saps it away. And then he literally just trademarked the Jericho Vortex. I'm like, dude, this guy just literally can't help himself. And the stupid Learning Tree, like, he said, Big Bill, who gives a shit? Like, I don't know. I feel like Jericho's the definition. I understand he's signed for a long time, but, like, he's the definition at this point. He needs to go away for a little bit because whatever he's been doing, like, no one's ever really gotten over working with him. The only person that's really made it out okay was MJF. but everyone else has been like brought down to a lower level than they already were and haven't really recovered. So not like I think Hook's gonna become this big star anyways, but him losing to Jericho just to continue this is just awful.
No, it's just not good. I mean, I knew they wanted to continue it, but they're continuing it probably by giving him a group of some sort. I mean, again, who gives a shit? But on that same subject of Dynamite on Wednesday, again, no match-by-match and segment-by-segment breakdown, but closing the show had a lot of people talking, and I'm actually, as you are as well, I would imagine, in the minority with the reaction to this thing, is when I looked on Twitter last night, people were either just outright enjoying it, saying it was entertaining. And again, everyone's entitled to their opinion, of course, and as am I, and as are you, and I just feel like I'm in the minority here. People were outright enjoying it and calling it entertaining, or it was like so bad it was good sort of thing. For me, and what we're talking about here is Tony Khan getting attacked by the Elite. The first time Tony Khan's gotten physical, gotten beat up on the show, because they've been doing this storyline for months where the EVPs have all the power, but Tony Khan stands there like a fucking goof, even though he has more power than they do, not doing anything about it. It would be one thing if they didn't acknowledge Tony Khan, but he's a regular on-screen character on the show. They acknowledge him constantly. They show him constantly. It's terrible. I don't know why he's on the show as much as he is. He's not a good actor. He's one of the most awkward people in the world. And they had him get laid out. And, I mean, I'm glad that he's off the show for now. If that means that he's... My only two top takeaways from this are this, the fact that he's off the show, hopefully. So I like it for that reason. And two, I guess it makes sense because they want to get Jack Perry involved, and that's a decent use of Jack Perry. Beyond that, I just thought it was stupid. And it's not like, oh, you know, people didn't have an issue with Austin stunning McMahon. That is not what this is. I mean, I could understand the bare basics of a comparison, but if you are comparing Tony Khan to Vince McMahon as on-screen characters, just to put that out there, we're not talking about as people. If you're comparing them as on-screen characters in the Elite to Stone Cold Steve Austin, then I would love to know what fucking drugs you're smoking right now, because that's just not even comparable. But I don't really know what else to say about it. I just was not a fan. I could see why people enjoyed it, I guess, because it was something different, and AEW needs something different. But I think to have Tony Khan involved in any capacity is just pretty stupid. But that was just me.
Yeah, I think, like you said, I think it's... I mean, I popped big for Shad Khan. Like, I actually knew who he was before they showed him.
Yeah.
So, like, once I saw him, I fucking died laughing, just because I feel like he's very meme-worthy, like, just his appearance alone. But I think if anything, it's like people were. I think the people that are into it just because there's like something you didn't expect to happen. Obviously, like who expected Tony to get beat up? Like no one ever really expected. I think that was like the people that liked it, like oh, something new and shocking. Like yeah, but the execution wasn't good. The people that did it, I mean, like I said, I guess it gets Jack Perry back on, but I'm kind of like sick of this whole Elite stuff. So now we're gonna get more of it. But like you said, like they had been. Over the last few months when they've been, like, the whole EVPs, like, they're like, oh, we're going to be producing Okada's match, and they're sitting at Gorilla with Tony, and, like, he's on screen. He's just shaking his head because he's an awkward weirdo. But, I mean, what's the, like, I guess what's the payoff? Like, what's going to happen? Like, I guess that was my biggest takeaway is, like, one, I didn't think it was executed well. The people executing it, I just feel like you either love the Elite or hate them. There's not really in between. So it's not like, it is what it is at this point, but, like, what's the payoff? Like, I don't. That's what I guess my thing is. Like, are we gonna have like every week? Like, the Elite's gonna be like running Dynamite. What are we gonna get? Like, fucking Dark Order and losers running around. I don't know. Like, I guess that's my point. Like, what's the payoff? Like, are they just gonna hire all their friends and we're just gonna get like a romper room? Or like, I just don't know exactly like what the payoff is. Is like Jack Perry gonna beat Swerve for the belt? Like, I hope not. But like, after they announced Ospreay's gonna face Roderick Strong at Double or Nothing, I'm like, why isn't he not going for the world? Like, why is he going for this fucking belt that no one cares about? Like, so that gives me fear that, like, they're going to do Perry versus Swerve next, and Perry's going to beat him for the belt. And I'm like, I don't want that. That's terrible.
No. I don't know. Yeah, they'll
like, probably should be going for the world title. When I saw he was facing Strong for that whatever the fuck it's called, I'm like, that's a downgrade for him. And then that got in my head, I'm like, why would they do that when he should be going for the world title? I'm like, oh, they'll probably have Jack Perry face Swerve at Double or Nothing, and they'll be in for the belt, and that'll be the dumbest shit ever.
Yeah, no, I wasn't a fan of that at all. I think the Casino Battle Royal was just chaos. It was fine. I enjoyed parts of it, but yeah, Ospreay going for like a fourth down championship is just so fucking random. I thought they might run it back with Danielson or do something with him in Blackpool Combat Club. I mean, if this means that, I mean, we probably still will, let's face it, but if this means that we're not getting anarchy in the arena for the third straight year, then I'm content with that, because I thought that shit was terrible. But I don't know. I mean, again, if this means less TK on the shows, then great. But like you said, what is the end game here? I mean, again, time will tell. I we'll talk about like the let it play out stuff, but you know, I don't know. I thought it was just to have TK involved in any capacity. In my own personal opinion, I don't even want to say it's bad. I just don't like it personally as a fan. Maybe it will end up benefiting the show because the show needs a shot in the arm. Because they don't do this sort of stuff often. They don't really go the storyline route. They don't really have segments close the show. It's typically matches. So I guess it's better to do, you know, to try something different. I applaud them for that. I'm trying to play devil's advocate here and trying to find a positive. Because I just, when it was over, I'm thinking, that's what, why did they do that? Like, that was, I don't know. I guess we'll find out. I just do not need Tony Khan.
But don't you think, like, what I said is, like, they're giving Ospreay the Intercontinental, whatever they call it. I can't even think, what's it? Is it Intercontinental? No, it's not Intercontinental.
It's just Continental.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry,
it's
sorry.
It's Continental, okay?
International, my bad, sorry.
International, okay. I thought it was Inter something, yeah. So, like, but like, I think them giving Ospreay, like, I mean, Ospreay's gonna beat Arada Trung. I don't know why he wouldn't. But like, yeah. Why wouldn't he be going for the world title? Like I said, like them, it's gonna be Perry. I guarantee it's gonna be Perry versus Swerve at one double or nothing, and he'll beat him. And I think that is the stupidest thing possible. Obviously, they'll give it time. They're still a month away. But if that's what happens, that's one of the worst decisions they could possibly make.
It could be what they do, because they said that they're announcing Swerve's opponent for double or nothing next week. They didn't do it on this show. They could have done it on this show, but they're waiting until next week, until after they got this angle out of the way. So I didn't really think about that, but yeah, it's possible. I think that'd be awful, though. Perry, I like Perry too, but
fumbling Swerve so fucking bad, it wouldn't be fun.
Yeah, no, that would be a terrible use of Swerve, just to give him his moment for a month. I don't care if he goes back in chase mode. I mean, who cares? He's been in chase mode for years now. Like, give him a little bit of a run. That's ridiculous. But I mean, I don't want to judge it until we see what happens next Wednesday. But if that is the direction,
I mean, I think this is what I mean. Just through my brain of thought, I think this will happen. They'll do Perry and Swerve at what's its face. Perry will beat him, and then like they'll kind of run rampant for a while, like whatever. When eventually Tony comes back, it'll be like at All In. It'll be Jack Perry versus fucking MJF, and MJF will get the belt back.
That's a complete waste of Swerve and Ospreay too.
It is, I completely agree. I think it's the biggest waste of Swerve. He's been so fucking over. One of the top guys in the company for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And he's going to win the belt, and they're going to fucking have him drop it. Like I said, then once Tony comes back, that's when MJF will come back, and they'll, like, take, like, be the face of AEW, and he'll take the belt from Perry. Guarantee you.
They're trying to make them the new heel faction, because Undisputed Kingdom was an absolute bomb. I mean, that group has just been so disappointing. I mean, they have multiple championships, but no one gives a shit.
Well, isn't it? I think I saw a report. They said that like Adam Cole's not close to being back, I guess.
Yeah, they fumbled that one. I mean, they did the whole reveal, the whole devil thing, and it didn't even end up mattering because, I mean, he was on the pay-per-view and he was on the show on Wednesday, but if he's not close to coming back, then why am I supposed to care? Especially if Roderick Strong's going to lose the championship next month.
Where's Wardlow?
He was there, too. Adam Cole was staring him down. I don't know. It's just stupid. Just fucking dumb. We get to the WWE releases. I want to get your quick thoughts on these before we get into the draft stuff. We had Jinder Mahal cut last week. Veer Sangha of Indushir. Xia Li, Zion Quinn. Not a good day to have your name start with an X, I guess. Or Via. Von Wagner also getting cut. And Cameron Grimes, which was announced on Tuesday. Grimes, I think, was the biggest name out of the... I mean, Jinder was the biggest name out of the bunch. He was a former WWE champion. Grimes was, to me, the biggest waste of potential there among those that were released. Jinder, you know my thoughts on him. I mean, again, at least not in recent years, because I've realized it's... Obviously, you shouldn't be doing that sort of stuff where it's like, oh, I hope this guy gets released. Why doesn't this guy not get cut? I mean, you can't be saying that sort of shit. But he's done it all. He's been a world champion, U.S. champion. He managed Indushir. They got rid of them. He said that he quit on Twitter, but you know, other outlets made it kind of clear that he was released. Maybe he asked for it, and then they granted him it. I don't really know. But that wasn't really a surprise. He's barely been on TV. I know he did the World Heavyweight title stuff earlier this year for like a week, and he also interacted with The Rock. And I saw that he did an interview with Chris Van Vliet a couple days ago, and he was talking about like, oh, You know, I got to The Rock, working with The Rock was so great. Like, he believed in me, and we had a great segment. I'm thinking, oh, if you believed in you that much, I mean, he's the fucking one of the bosses now. I mean, he's not fucking the boss. I'm sorry. That's weird. He is one of the fucking bosses now. So he could have kept you if he wanted to, but he obviously decided not to. So he clearly doesn't give that much of a shit about you. But Jinder gotten cut. Indu Shear, I thought, had more potential, but, you know, that's not really all that surprising. They've barely been on the show. Xia Li, she's been there forever. She's not bad. She was decent, but they never really gave her a chance. And Zion Quinn wasn't, he wasn't bad either, but he clearly was going nowhere. And Von Wagner is just not that good, so I'm not really surprised they got rid of him. So your thoughts on those they let go of in the last week?
Yeah, I think, like you said, I think all of them had different things that they were good at or like had potential at. I think they all lacked one similar quality, though. I think they all lacked just like presentation, even just like the gimmick or just like aura. Like, I did like Indo Shear was on TV a decent amount, but I just feel like the crowd just didn't care, and like there was flat. And, like, the same with like Xia Li. Like, I feel like she was on TV a decent amount, but like the whole like samurai gimmick, and obviously not like Indo Shear can help it, but obviously like the Indian
stereotype kind of stuff, yeah.
I mean, stereotype stuff like that. Like, I don't know if that's just the. I just feel like all these people, like, they had some, like, they had some good quality, but just like the presentation alone just never kind of led them anywhere. Like, even Cameron Grimes, like, he got called up and like you could hear a fucking church fart. Like, not, it's not his fault specifically, because like I don't think they did a real good job calling him up anyways. Like, he was one of those random call ups that just happened. But I just felt like they just lacked presentation and crowd engagement. And I mean, Xia Li, I feel like they kind of like bumped her up a little bit, and then it really didn't go anywhere. I thought she was decent, but I mean, I just feel like certain people are just never going to get above a certain level. And with her, like, they tried. I think she, like, she went heel, and that really didn't go anything. So I think she just lost to Becky. And with Indu Shear, like I said, they were on TV a little bit more, but I don't know. I just feel like every time they came out, the crowd just sat on their hands, and like they'd squash someone and we would just move on. So, yeah, I think they, like I said, not like, I think any of them were like overly terrible. I just think they just didn't really see us. Like, they just didn't have a spot for them.
Yeah,
like, that's just kind of, the crowd never connected with them. I don't really know what else you can do from there. But, like Grimes, I feel like you said, probably the biggest name that just didn't really, like I said, I just don't think his call-up was weird, and he just never really recovered from it.
Yeah, no, it was also, he fell victim, I think, to, when he got called up, he was under the Vince Triple H stuff, when Vince was back, and he was also kind of having a hand in creative. That didn't really do him any favors, because as soon as Vince was gone, and I'm not defending Triple H here, but as soon as Triple H was gone, I'm sorry, Vince was gone from creative, and he was gone from the company, and Triple H was kind of knighted as the official head of creative, late last year, Cameron Grimes started popping up a little bit more. He had more appearances on TV. Triple H is to blame in the sense that he didn't really capitalize on and didn't really have him on the show all that much and didn't really do much of note with him. He never really had a feud. He kind of did a small thing with Baron Corbin on SmackDown about a year ago when he first got called up. Corbin went to NXT, so they never really had a chance to finish that feud. And Grimes was cooked after that. And they never really... And by the time Vince was gone last year, they never really, like I said, capitalized on it. And by that point, it was too late. It was too little, too late. Not much more they could do. I'm not saying he was damaged goods, because getting rid of him, I think, was just a stupid decision. But they have a lot of people, and they're probably calling him more in the draft, and they're kind of evaluating the rosters right now coming out of WrestleMania, the whole spring cleaning thing we hear about every year. And a lot of these people, they just didn't have plans for going forward. So I'm not too shocked by pretty much any of these names. It's not like they were on the show weekly or doing anything weekly. A lot of these people... Grimes was on the main roster for a year, but all of these people were in the company for at least 4 or 5 years, including their time in NXT. I mean, Von Wagner's been there since, like, 2019, 2020. Jinder's been there since, I mean, over a decade, but he came back in 2016. Veer, Sangha, even them, they weren't on the main roster for all that long, but they, too, were in developmental for at least 4 or 5 years. You met him over WrestleMania weekend, right? 5 years ago, did you not?
To Sangha?
I think Sangha and Veer, or was it just Sangha and someone else?
No, he had a different partner at the time, but it was Sangha and I don't know the other guy's name.
Yeah, I think they were managed by Robert Stone for a cup of coffee, who is still there, by the way. He was managing Von Wagner, and they repurposed Robert Stone, rather, as a producer, so he is still there. Von Wagner is not. But we get now to the WWE draft stuff. They did announce on Wednesday, champions are exempt. Finally, some fucking logic with this shit. And I know people were saying, oh, of course now they, not everyone, but some people I saw said, of course now the 1 year that the champions are exempt is the 1 year they don't have the Raw and SmackDown titles. Well, guess what? Good. Fucking good, because that shit was stupid. They got rid of that nonsense. The tag titles look dumb. The women's title, brand-centric stuff. Champions exempt or not, it was stupid to have brand-centric championships. It was dumb. It's like, oh, red here, blue there, like we're stupid. The whole thing was dumb, so I'm glad they moved away from that. But champions cannot be drafted, meaning that staying on Raw is the World Heavyweight Champion Damian Priest, the new Women's World Champion Becky Lynch, which we'll get to in a second, and the Tag Team Champions, the World Tag Team Champions, Awesome Truth, The Miz, and R-Truth. Staying on SmackDown is the WWE Champion Cody Rhodes. Now, he was on Raw prior to Mania, but he said about a week or so ago, he said, oh, I'm a SmackDown guy now. And they're making that official in the draft. So Cody Rhodes is staying on SmackDown as the WWE Champion. The United States Champion, Logan Paul. I forgot to mention the Intercontinental Champion, Gunther. I'm used to saying Gunther. Sami Zayn staying on Raw. Logan Paul staying on SmackDown. WWE Tag Team Champions, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. And also the WWE Women's Champion, Bayley. So, your thoughts on that new rule? And also, Becky Lynch, as we're kind of on the subject, her as the new Women's World Champion, your thoughts on that as well?
Yeah, I think, like you said, the brands, like, the champion should stay. I think when they were flip-flopping titles and doing the transfers, I mean, at this point, I don't think it really matters. I feel like each title has its own identity. It's not, like, brand-specific, so... I don't think it really matters if you switch brands, but like I said, at least there is some rule. Like, I feel like the champion shouldn't really move, because if one moves, then the other, like, kind of counterpart would have to go. So, whatever. I think that's fine. I think you should just move the contenders instead of the champions. Champions should just be, like, they're already known on that said show, so you should just move the contenders to other different shows. So, I like that aspect. I will say, I think, like, Jade and Bron Breakker should stay to SmackDown as well. Like, they just signed with Nick Aldis to be on SmackDown, so why would they be traded, like, why would they be draft eligible? They just signed like a couple months ago.
Exactly.
So that, I think that should have been kind of on there as well. But I like that aspect. I think, like you said, I think it makes sense. With Becky winning the belt, I mean, I'm fine with it. Looking back at it, I think I said Liv or Nia, but I mean, I think Becky winning it, she gives the most notoriety of the belt, and then once she holds the belt for probably a little bit, I think Liv can beat her. I think beating her in a match itself will make mean much more than her just winning a battle royal. And, like, Liv can avenge the losses to Becky before Mania, kind of ramp up this heel persona that she's going with. And then what, she holds the belt, and then we get her and Rhea when Rhea gets back. So I know a lot of people were upset about it, but I think if you let it flesh out a little bit longer, it'll mean more in the end.
I was okay with it, too, for that exact same reason, where I didn't think Becky would win because I didn't think she was in it, but she announced shortly before Raw started, I'm back, and I'll be in the Battle Royal. I'm like, well, she's fucking winning. And as soon as they showed Liv and Nia brawling backstage, my first thought was they're going to cancel each other out, and Becky will win. And that's exactly what happened. Now, it would have been nice to see, and I'm shocked I'm even saying this, but it would have been nice to see them do something different and put the belt on Nia. I think Nia might be going to SmackDown. We'll talk about that in a second as far as who's going where. But, you know, Becky is the champion. Makes sense because they had an established top star in that role in Rhea Ripley before she got hurt. They want to keep that going by keeping the belt on someone of that same ilk. And Becky Lynch fits that mold. She gets to stay on Raw. Liv can hopefully feud with her in the meantime on Raw before Rhea Ripley comes back. And that's the endgame. I think Liv should be champion when Rhea comes back. Rhea's not going to be back, I don't think, anytime soon. So give Liv the belt closer to when she's ready to return by having her beat Becky before then. And like you said, Liv will gain more from beating Becky one-on-one, something she has never done before Mania. Even going back a couple years, they were feuding going into day one. They had a couple one-on-one matches back then with the roles reversed. Becky was the heel, Liv was the face. Liv never beat her one-on-one, so she can beat her for the belt. Becky can chase again, whatever. She can have a little bit of a run now. Becky had to win at some point. She just can't keep losing forever. So, I mean, Liv can't keep losing forever either, but I feel like you can cement her heel turn by having her cheat to beat Becky and become champion that way. So I like that a lot more, and I think that's the direction they're going to go in, hopefully. I mean, I say that, and then they're going to fuck me over by drafting Liv to SmackDown, and then it goes bye-bye. But I'm hoping they kind of stay consistent here with some of the storylines, with some of these people ending up on the same shows. One last thing before the draft stuff. Finn Balor announcing on Monday as well during Raw. Not really announcing, but making it clear in a joke tweet. He is sticking with WWE. Fightful Select backed that up by saying that he's been offered, not yet signed, but been offered a big money deal to stay for several more years, multi-year deal. I'm not like surprised by it, but I'm happy he is staying. If Vince McMahon was still in charge, I feel like he probably would have left, gone to AEW and experimented there. But Judgment Day is doing their thing right now. He's not really the focal point, but Balor is, you know, he's definitely more relevant now than he has been in the last number of years. So I like the fact that he's sticking around, and I like the Judgment Day stuff. So hopefully at some point we can get him and Priest for that World Heavyweight Championship one-on-one. But your thoughts on Finn Balor sticking around in WWE?
Like you said, if Vince was still around, he would have been fired last week in this year, I mean. I feel like Vince was never just a big Finn Balor guy. You could just tell when he was booking, he was just never really a focal point. Triple H, I feel like he's kind of got his footing. Great member of the Judgment Day. We'll probably see some more dissension coming up, but I like Finn, and I'm glad he got a good deal, it sounds like.
It's a good pickup for WWE, and I think they should definitely offer similar big money deals to other people in the company as well that also have deals coming up, and Drew, Becky, and Seth, and Sheamus as well. I don't know if he's re-signed. I would assume not. He might just be back for right now. We don't know. He could still end up leaving. Maybe he wants his final storyline to be with Drew McIntyre. It's very possible, but you know, hopefully they can offer similar deals to other big stars who could potentially be on their way out in the coming months. So now we get to the WWE draft. Like I said, they announced the pools on Wednesday. We won't really go by the pools because that would take forever. But I just want to get your general thoughts, and we can kind of go back and forth here as far as who you think should end up where. We know where the champions are staying, and honestly, with them announcing that, that makes it a little bit easier because that means that, like, okay, for example, I think, can we agree that maybe Chad Gable should stay on Raw with the Intercontinental Championship? I mean, like, drafting, I have my notebook in front of me like I did last year, and I'll write down some of these names that we agree on who should go where, and we can debate it if needed. But, I mean, people like him, for example, we won't go by order. He should probably stay on Raw, right, if he's currently chasing the Intercontinental Championship?
Yes.
All right, so I'm putting Chad Gable down for Raw. But who else do you think off the top of your head, like the Bloodline? They haven't announced if stables are getting drafted together or not, or if it's separately. I would assume it's together because there's a lot of people that are eligible. I would be surprised that they don't allow people to be drafted in teams and in groups again, like the OC and stuff like that. But
yeah,
what about
I think with Raw, like you said, with the champions staying the way they are, I think Damage Control would go to Raw.
All of Damage Control with Bayley staying on SmackDown.
Correct.
And I said this on Twitter the other day, but I would imagine if they go to Raw and they're kind of fulfilling one of the heel roles, then Nia Jax can go to SmackDown.
I'm fine with that one, yep.
What about the Bloodline? Do you think they supplement that entire storyline over to Monday nights, or do they just keep it going on SmackDown?
I think it's going to stay on SmackDown.
Do you think Jey Uso joins them as well, or do you think he stays on Raw by himself?
I think he stays on Raw.
Jimmy Uso is not eligible, by the way. I know he's currently hurt in real life. They attacked him on SmackDown a few weeks ago, but it came out from Fightful yesterday that he's hurt, so he will not be eligible for this thing. Does AJ Styles, the number one contender of the WWE Championship, stay on SmackDown or go to Raw? I think he'll probably stay on SmackDown.
I feel like you said, I don't think they lock in until, like, after Backlash,
yes.
But I just feel like it makes sense from this, like, if he's going to Raw, he's not taking the belt with him. Unless, like you said, yeah, that'd be even dumber if they had, like, Jay get drafted to SmackDown, and then they have AJ drafted to Raw, and they're both going for... Well, I mean, I guess you could do that, but, like, I don't think Jay... Like, Cody's not losing the belt, and then if Jay was on SmackDown, there's no fucking chance he'd take the World Heavyweight title. I think whoever's facing should stay where they are, so I would keep Jay on Raw and AJ on SmackDown.
Yeah, I think it would make those matches a little less predictable, too, if they stay where they are. The people that you said that they just recently signed to SmackDown, I think it would be dumb, like you said, if they got drafted to the other show, if Nick Aldis just signed them. That being... Bron Breakker, Tiffany Stratton, Naomi could go either way. We don't know where Jimmy's going, and she would go where Jimmy's going. I'll say she probably stays on SmackDown. I could see her moving. Maybe if Jimmy goes to Raw with Jay, I don't know. He probably would go to Raw to reunite with Jey Uso. Do Bron Breakker and Tiffany stay on SmackDown?
They should, especially with what Tiffany did last week. They should stay on SmackDown.
If she's going to feud with Bayley beyond that matchup, I would think so. I'm going to say Naomi goes to Raw because I feel like they did her and Bayley for a reason because she's probably not going to stay. So I'm going to say Naomi goes to Raw with Jimmy, but Jimmy's not getting traded. But so that makes sense. But Jade Cargill and Bianca, now they probably won't be drafted together because they're not, like, I mean, they are a team, but not really. Do you think they go to SmackDown or stay on SmackDown? Or I think they probably will. I don't really see the reason in moving them both to Raw. And wherever they go, they should be together.
Yeah, I'd keep them both on SmackDown.
That would make sense. What about Seth Rollins? He is eligible. He is currently hurt. I mean, obviously, he's got to stay on Raw, right, with Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I'd keep him on Raw.
I got to put Jade Cargill here. Anyone else that really stands out? Like, I'm looking at LA Knight here. I don't really want him to move to Raw because I've been saying forever, I've been complaining he has to beat Logan Paul for the United States Championship, and he can't beat Logan Paul if he's on Raw because Logan Paul ain't going anywhere. I think LA Knight's, I'm gonna say he moves to Raw, but, you know, I feel like
he can move to Raw and then Gunther goes to SmackDown.
And we know that Imperium's no longer a thing in that current form. Vinci's off the, I mean, he's out of the group, but I think Kaiser stays with him. So I'm going to say Imperium.
Yeah, so they both go to SmackDown.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sheamus and Drew, do they stay in the same show or do they get separated? I know they're currently doing a storyline. Where do they go? I'm thinking they both stay on Raw. Sheamus was technically on SmackDown.
I was thinking about it. I think you keep them both on Raw.
What about CM Punk? Obviously got a feud with Drew at some point. Got to stay on Raw.
Yep.
Okay, Punk. I'm trying to think of, like, big names here. What about NXT people? Who do you see from NXT getting drafted?
I mean, Ilya, definitely.
You think Ilya goes to Raw or SmackDown?
I mean, I'd say Raw.
That's what I was thinking.
I think they could use some more people. I mean, they said, like, when the night after WrestleMania, they literally said Roxanne was going to be in the draft, but then she retained the other night.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess she still could, but, like, they did say that she was going to, they literally said she was in the draft.
They did say she declared herself. It would be weird if she declared herself and then she wasn't eligible. That would be kind of stupid.
So, I mean, she also just won the belt at Stand and Deliver, so she should probably hold it a little bit longer, but I think she should get called up as well. I think she should go to Raw. Samantha just has a ton of, like, established women that I think she should go to Raw.
Yeah, I think I would put her on Raw as well. If SmackDown's getting Bianca and Jade, she should probably go to Raw. Charlotte, I don't think is eligible because she's hurt, but she would go where Andrade is, which would be Raw or SmackDown.
I feel like you could put him on SmackDown. I mean, he's like with I'd move Andrade to SmackDown.
Okay, all right. I don't know. Becky, I'm going to say he goes to Raw. I won't write that one down, but I could see Andrade going to Raw. Because I think if Charlotte, wherever he goes, Charlotte goes, and SmackDown, it sounds like they have enough women, so I'll say she probably goes to Raw. The rest of Judgment Day, I mean, Damien's not eligible, obviously, but I would imagine they stay on Raw with him. I mean, why break them up?
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley's not eligible. I'm looking at, like, bigger names here. Owens, Orton, I just honestly wouldn't really move all that many people. They probably will for no reason. I think Owens and Orton should stay where they are. I would keep them on SmackDown too. They didn't join all that long ago. Owens, Orton. What about Legado and LWO? I think they should be separated after the year long feud that they've had. Probably I would move LWO to. Or, I'm sorry, Legado to Raw.
I was going to say the opposite, so. I feel like Raw already has the heel stable. They already have the, I guess they have the bloodlines on SmackDown, too, with the Judgment Day. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could move them to Raw, and then you have, like, Santos feud with Sammy.
Yeah,
if he holds the belt past Chad. Yeah, you can do Legado. I mean, I think they do need, either one of the teams needs to move, because I'm kind of tired of them feuding, so. I guess you just move Legato.
Yeah. DIY to SmackDown, I was saying that the other day. I feel like that would make sense.
Yep.
They could use it after losing on Monday again. I'm trying to think. I feel like that's a majority of the big names. I'm trying to see who else is on here that's eligible. Like Shayna Baszler, who gives a shit?
Do you see anyone else from NXT getting called up? Or
I feel like you got to call up a couple more people. I mean, I guess we'll end with the NXT people here because there's no one else really from the main roster that's like a big name that really makes a difference. And I can always go through them again myself later. But from Raw, does anyone from Raw or from NXT stand out to you? Like, I could see the family getting called up, D'Angelo's faction, or at least D'Angelo just himself. Because, I mean, like, he's been in NXT forever. What is there really left for him to do?
Nothing.
I mean, I know he pinned Charlie Dempsey the other day going for the pointless fucking Heritage Cup title. What about Baron Corbin?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could put him on SmackDown and maybe get him and Braun again, or maybe something on his own.
Yeah, put him on SmackDown.
Yeah, I'm fine with Corbin. Put him on SmackDown.
SmackDown. I think Dijak's going to the main roster, too. I think he'll probably get drafted. I think he's going to Monday Night Raw. If you put Corbin on SmackDown, I would put him on Raw.
Yep.
Let's see. Those two. I mean, that's four right there. I think Fallon Henley might get traded. I think she might get drafted to one of the two brands. I could see her going to SmackDown.
I'm going to say, I could still see her on SmackDown if she gets drafted. Did they say who on NXT is eligible or no?
They did, and they just said plus NXT superstars in this graphic here. Although it was just Ilya and Roxanne that declared. So like I said, it would be very stupid if Roxanne doesn't get picked if she declared and neither brand wants her. That makes no sense. That would just be dumb. I'm looking at the other women, like Cora Jade ain't getting drafted. She's hurt anyway.
I think Lyra maybe or no?
I feel like if you draft Roxanne, you should probably keep Lyra there for a little longer. I could see her getting drafted. I definitely could. I'm going to say she doesn't, though. Do you think she will?
I mean, maybe they keep Roxanne longer down because she's the champion. They call Lyra up instead.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like with Roxanne, at least she's a champion, so she has something to look for. Like, at this point, Lyra not going to win it again, so I mean I wouldn't mind calling her up, and like I said, keep Roxanne down a little bit longer and then just call Lyra up now. And like I said, I think it would be dumb if they said she was eligible and then she didn't get picked.
Yeah. I put a slash next to Perez and I put Lyra because I feel like if she doesn't go to Raw, or if Roxanne doesn't go to Raw, then Lyra. I don't feel like they both get drafted. You can't completely gut the
women's
division.
Not only they both get called up either. I mean, honestly, if she was like, I don't really love her as a heel anyways, but if you're going to keep her a heel, I mean, maybe you do have Lyra get called up instead, and then like later on, whenever she drops the belt, she gets called up later in the year and like attacks Lyra. It's like, I was the one, like, you got picked over. I don't know. You could just do something like that. Like I said, I don't love Roxanne as a heel to begin with, but I mean, it's one or the other. So I think, like I said, I would just do Lyra, Roxanne, Slash, because I think one of them will get picked, but the other one won't.
Yeah. You got to keep one of them in NXT. And then the last NXT pick I totally forgot about, Carmelo Hayes. That's obviously a slam dunk. He's obviously getting drafted. To which show does he get drafted to, though, is the question. If Raw got Dragunov, I was going to say Raw, but they just we said Raw for him, so I don't know, for Dragunov.
I would say SmackDown for Hayes. I mean, he was on SmackDown before, so.
Yeah. Got the built-in exposure.
I just feel like there's more people for him to feud with, like, Raw. I don't really know a ton you deal with him. I mean, that's like, I feel like that's also the problem. They call up people, and then there's, like, nothing to do with them.
I mean,
who do you think is going to get sent down to NXT, though? Because isn't that, like, a possibility, too?
It is a possibility. I'm trying to find one more person to go to Raw, because they put Carmelo on SmackDown, so I'm trying to, like, and I have an even number of names. I'm trying to find one more person just because it's going to bother me. Do you think is going to Raw?
I mean, Owens could go to Raw.
I have Owens on SmackDown. I could see him going to Raw, though. I already have his name down on SmackDown. Yeah, New Day, maybe? New Day staying where they are?
I thought they were already on Raw.
Yeah, they are. Right? I'm just saying I could see them getting or staying on. Or Bobby Lashley's group. I mean, yeah, I'm going to put Bobby's group on Raw. Let's do that.
Yeah, but then you'd have to put Bianca on Raw.
Oh, you do? Huh.
So maybe put the Final Testament on Raw.
Final Testament. I mean, they're technically on NXT right now, but I won't say they get drafted. I'll say they go to Raw ultimately. Them and, oh, God, now I need another one. Fuck. Who's staying on Raw? I already wrote
staying
down.
Staying on Raw? Natalya. Yeah.
How about this? Before I draft Natalya, how about Ricochet or Braun Strowman? Braun didn't really do anything on Raw when he was just recently there, so I'll probably say that he stays on Raw when he comes back. He's eligible.
Oh, he's eligible. Okay.
Yeah, surprisingly. So he's probably coming back soon, which is weird. Which it's weird that he's injured and he's eligible, but like Charlotte's not and Rhea's not. It's weird. I put down Strowman for Raw. Okay, so that's even. All right, go back to your question. NXT, who do I think gets drafted there? I think my.
I mean, you said Nakamura, which I do like.
Yeah, I mean, I know that made you laugh. That popped you, but I do believe he should probably go to NXT. The guy is the eater of pinfalls on the main roster right now, so he should probably go there. I know Final Testament is there right now. I don't think they get. They could get drafted, but I put them on Raw ultimately. So let's assume that OC's already on NXT. I mean, they're eligible in the draft, but I feel like they'll fucking go to NXT.
I can see Ricochet going to NXT.
Ricochet?
All right. I mean, I just feel like he's on Raw, but he's not, like you said, like, not that he's eating pinfalls, he's just not doing anything.
No, he's not doing anything. Let's say he goes to NXT as well. And then, I really don't want, like, Kaylee Ray back there, because I feel like she was there for so long, but they're not doing anything with her, so I don't know. I'm going to say, I'll say Cedric Alexander and Ashanti the Adonis. Yeah. They're not going anywhere. So,
after, I don't know if it was after WrestleMania or before WrestleMania. Like, they were like teasing like a new gimmick for Dawn and Fire.
They were
a similar with them and all this, and I feel like they never really followed up on that. So maybe we get that after the draft. I don't know. But.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I could. Yeah, hopefully we get it after the draft, regardless of what show. I think they could get drafted to Raw just so they might get more time and more of a chance to do stuff. I'm looking at other people on Raw on the Raw roster right now.
Do you think with the third hour that the women's tag teams, like, even if you're, I just feel like you said, I feel like women's tag teams, if you're specifically a team, you should be able to float, because they don't really show them on SmackDown.
No, they don't.
So, like, if you're a SmackDown women's tag team, you never get to wrestle because they don't have time for you.
Yeah.
But on Raw, they give you, like, three matches. Like, we have, like, at least two women's tag team matches every week, I feel like. Or at least them are, like... So I feel like they should kind of, like, float if they're not going to show them on SmackDown, or just be Raw-specific, but... Yeah, like I said, I feel like that half the problem is they're just never on TV. Like I said, I mean, Dawn, I've never really been a huge fan of hers, but I mean, Kaylee Ray is fucking amazing, so yeah. I think they need to move to Raw so they get some spotlight.
Yeah, I think they should move to Raw. That's not a bad idea. There's just so many women, so pretty much half of the division would be floating, which I think kind of defeats the purpose. But the tag teams do get no time on SmackDown, so... It is tough to say. It's hard to give a shit when they don't get any time and they're not even really shown. I do think if you move DIY to SmackDown, then Candice and Indy would both go there, obviously, with Candice and Johnny obviously being married. I could see Katana Chance and Keaton Carter also going to SmackDown. Again, like, it fucking matters, but I could see them going to SmackDown. I could see them going to SmackDown. Bronson Reed, that's one name I forgot. He's kind of notable right now with Sami Zayn. Do you think he stays, or do you think he goes?
Keep him on Raw.
Keep him on Raw?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I said SmackDown, but if him and Sammy aren't facing off a backlash, which they could, but we don't know yet, then he should probably stay on Raw. All right. I think that's everyone, though. Yeah, I mean, they're kind of in an interesting position, because I don't know how they're going to commit to the brand split, because they haven't in the past. So I don't think that they're going to now. And I didn't write down, there's some names I didn't write down here, like Liv Morgan, but I think we can assume that she stays on Raw. I'll fill in those blanks after we're done here. But yeah, I think that's a pretty decent roster. So going to Raw, we got, again, no particular order, not including the champions. Chad Gable, Alpha Academy should all be together to finish that story, Cody Rhodes style. Damage Control, Jey Uso, Naomi, Rollins, LA Knight, McIntyre, Sheamus, Punk, Dragunov, Perez, or Lyra. Judgment Day, Legato, Dijak, Final Testament, Strowman. And then SmackDown getting Nia Jax, the entire Bloodline, AJ Styles, Braun Breaker, Tiffany Stratton, Bianca, Jade, Imperium, Owens, Orton, LWO, DIY, Corbin, Valen Henley, Carmelo Hayes, and the Pride. It sounds like SmackDown got the better end of that draft that we just did, but I mean, that I feel like that's the case.
I feel like that's always how it goes.
Yeah, since they are currently the A show on Fox. But, you know, maybe Raw gets the better hand this year over SmackDown. We'll find out starting tomorrow night. We'll analyze it all next week here on the show. The fallout from the 2024 WWE Draft Night 1 and Night 2. And also backlash predictions for next weekend. So, just as much to get into next week. New episodes every single week on WrestleRant.com, WrestleRantRadio.com, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, all the usual podcast platforms. Mr. Marceau, brother, enjoy your weekend. I'll talk to you soon.
Later, man.
Enjoy the NFL draft tomorrow. Or actually, tonight. We'll talk about it when it airs tonight.
I'll text you.
See you, pal. Have a good one.
Join Graham, GSM Matthews, and RJ Marceau every Thursday as they run down their weekly wrestling rants, offer expert analysis, host exclusive interviews, and more. Subscribe today on all your favorite podcast platforms and never miss an episode of Wrestle Rant Radio.